When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network and we're brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at Bet Online. And they are your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. They have all the sports, so make sure you head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BELEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy Australia Day to you, mate. Thank you.
Joe Marino made it through the intro. If you're listening to the podcast, you probably won't appreciate that, but
this is the longest studio applause I've ever heard.
Yeah, I feel like it was warranted, too.
Standing ovation, Joe Marino, getting through the intro today, which I was very concerned I was going to have to do at some point. But
six tries, I'm pretty sure.
That's a job well done, Joe. Bravo for you. Happy National Australia Day. Good eye, mate.
Yeah, there it is.
Crocky.
Yep. Big shout out to our friends from Down Under.
Down Under.
Yep. This is the big day for them.
Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber. Mm-hmm. Austria. Well, then, why don't we know, throw another shrimp on the barbie, right? Get some mixed up. Yeah.
Have you been to Australia?
Good fun.
Would you go?
I have not. I've been to Austria, but not Australia.
Man,
Australia's on my list. I got to get down there.
Seems dangerous. Like, there's a lot of animals there that could kill you.
Correct.
Concerned about all that.
I got to be honest, if I don't go to Australia Zoo before I am off this earth, it will be a massive missed opportunity.
Really? Wow.
Steve Irwin was that dude.
I don't know, man. I think I'd be having a hard time out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
just nervous.
Go to Sydney.
That flight's pretty long too, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot involved here. I don't know if I'll get there at all.
There's some logistical hurdles that would make that difficult. But happy Australia Day. Mm. I need to get down before I'm gone. So consider this my official public declaration that I need to go before my time is up.
Chris, howdy.
Hello, gentlemen.
I'm so relieved Joe made it.
Me too.
What happened? Did you just not sleep last night? You tired?
No, I slept well last night. I went to bed at 9:06.
Joe usually gets the giggles when he's tired.
That is true.
You get to Thursday on the Senior Bowl week, and Thursday night, Joe's just delirious.
It's coming.
Yep. Next week. This time next week, we'll be about tapped out.
Right.
And then we'll have another
maybe we'll be
nine.
Mindful of some load management along the way, so I have a chance there later in the week. But I'm a regimented guy. You know what I mean? You get me out of my process, out of my rhythm. I don't function.
You gotta start training now. Well, start training now.
There's no reason to train. You don't build the church for Easter Sunday. You know what I mean? I just got to have to power through these weeks. All right. There's some conference championship games this weekend for us to consider. Yeah. And there is another big board for us to deliver later on in the podcast, our top sleepers for the Senior Bowl next week. So some fun stuff to get into here today. And the watch list is what we shall start with. Chiefs, Bengals, 49ers, Eagles, that's your final four.
Should probably go in order. Go with the game that's going to take place first, which is 49ers, Eagles. Yeah, that's probably
what
the
time is that?
We should start. That is at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, so I believe it is 3 p.m. Eastern.
So we're doing the 3 and 6:30 split again?
Yeah,
for, yeah, like I think that.
For us, it's going to be 2 and 5:30, but...
What do you mean for us?
Well, we're going to be in Mobile by then.
I am not.
Oh.
And neither is Joe Marino.
Oh, so that's just a me thing then.
Yeah, it's a you problem.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
My guy.
All right, sorry. Right
there Monday afternoon.
Draft dudes do math.
I get there Saturday night, so.
Saturday night?
Yeah.
Jeez, what are you going to be doing there?
Setting up.
Figuring out where you're going to plug in the.
Yeah, make sure he's got power outlets so my guy doesn't have a nuclear meltdown on Monday.
All right. Well, thank you for handling that.
He's all bashful. He's like, yeah, it was pretty bad last year. We didn't have power.
We'll be fine.
Make sure he's got all the cords he needs.
Mm-hmm. We'll be fine, Joe.
How many trips to Guitar Center?
Speaker City?
The speaker's already ordered. Don't worry. Okay.
Speaker?
The speaker's been ordered. Does Joe know what we're doing?
I don't have a clue.
I can announce here on the show what we're doing.
I think we should probably make that known for anybody who's coming, planning on coming
down. If you're going to be in Mobile and you want to hang out.
It's also news to me. Whatever this is, I also don't know about it.
If you are coming to Mobile to see the Senior Bowl and you want to hang out with the dudes, with the TDN staff, you want to hang out with us, we're going to do some live shows Monday. Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
Cedar Street Social Club. TDN will be there. We'll be in the back little area. We've got it all set up. So that's what the speaker's for, Joe. We're doing some live shows. We're going to send it to the audience there at the Cedar Street Social Club. So that's where we'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's not just going to be dudes. We're going to have the entire TDN staff rotating in and out all three of those days. So doing some live stuff. So if you're there, you can come on down. You can see us, meet and greets. You can watch us do live shows. You can just talk ball with us. But that's where we will be. So that's what the speaker is for, Joe. But Kyle, it's already ordered. But I will take the over on half of a Guitar Center trip, because if I don't make the trip over the next 2 days for a chord, I know of a chord we're going to need while I'm there. So.
The Cedar Street Social Club has a cool vibe too. It kind of has the speakeasy vibe to it.
That's what we're going for.
Speakeasy. Yep. I've been to one of these speakeasies.
Yeah, Joe, you're very much going to like the vibe association with Cedar Street Social Club. Right. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Chris, you said?
Monday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday, 6 Monday, p.m. Wednesday, local Thursday. Time. 6 p.m. local time. We'll
you
be there for an hour.
With Nelly on Friday night, you know.
Days. That's true. We don't want to try and rub elbows with Nelly and try and have a live show during his his block.
Right. Yeah. Be respectful, please.
Yeah. So, yeah, live shows. So over on the Speaker City Guitar Center trip.
We will make one Guitar Center trip more than likely. Yes.
What's that from? Speaker City?
Speaker City? I have no idea.
Is that from 40-Year-Old Virgin? Is that where they were?
I've never seen that movie, so I wouldn't know.
Oh man, that's tough to take. That's a good movie. You should watch it.
So, I mean, I know of Circuit City. I don't know of Speaker City.
Speaker City is actually a thing.
Again, I've only heard of it. Only familiar with
Speaker City, USA, in Tarzana, California, and Speaker City is.
You're right. I'm so familiar.
Speaker City is also from Old School. Is what Speaker City is from? Excuse me. So not
40-Year-Old Virgin.
That's from where what's his name works. Vince Vaughn versus Speaker City.
49ers and Eagles.
Normally that's me. Joe wants to talk football today. I have another major announcement.
Wow,
announcement. And I need to say it here so we remember it. Oh, Kyle, you have something that you want to ask us at the beginning of the show, too, from yesterday that you want to talk about.
I think the Eagles are going to win.
We have some breaking developments. Returning on the show tomorrow, takes on takes, two truths and a lie, but returning on the show tomorrow because he sent it in on Monday and I forgot to tell the guys, hashtag new vocabulary for Joe returns on the show tomorrow.
Let's go. I was planning on bringing that up tomorrow for a different reason. I'm just going to go on for like 10 minutes like the last one. Okay, that was a lot quicker.
Yeah, I think because I
manually turned it down. It's got another 28 seconds, and I don't want to pause it.
The take has been sent. The word is in there with the definition. New vocabulary for Joe makes its return.
From Trevor?
From Trevor.
Because Vontel, did you see his tweet yesterday about the self-proclaimed most historic run?
Best run in takes on takes history.
Yeah, yeah, and I was prepared to bring up that, and it just happened. I mean, this is phenomenal.
I'm glad that Vontel didn't share me on that tweet.
Oh, what?
Oh boy, it's kind of going to be hard to get on the show.
Hard to get on the show if you don't include
tag the producer.
Yep.
Okay. Well, for everybody who's listening, if you're going to share with people that listen to the show, just know that we start the football talk at the 11:20.
No, because remember, there's
Joe had about 8 full starts in there, so it's somewhere around probably the 7 or 8 minute mark that we start talking about football. The question that I had was, Joe, you mentioned yesterday Keon White, tracked at 21 miles per hour on the the GPS tracking. Mm-hmm. What's the craziest miles per hour GPS tracking statistic that you've heard?
Can you give me a second? I don't want to mess it up.
Sure. I've got mine.
Go ahead.
Jalen Phillips hit 22 miles per hour on the gun this year.
How much? 22?
22. All 6'5", 265 pounds of Jalen Phillips hit 22 miles per hour on the GPS this year.
Mine's loading, but I was able to find it.
What's it about?
It's about Josh Allen. I'm sorry.
You apologize to me.
Well, I'm not going to, but I would like this to load.
Really so tempting the soundboard with the "I'm not going to." I won't do it because we've been attractive this year.
But. Listen, this was a throw that you and I were able to watch together. His touchdown pass in week 1 against the Rams. Stephon Diggs getting behind Jalen Ramsey. Josh Allen was at 13.6 miles per hour at the time of the throw on that touchdown pass, which is the fastest a quarterback has been running on a completion of at least 50 air yards in the next gen stats era. And so I think that's a fun one.
I think just in general, you think about 13. What's the fastest you could run on the treadmill right now?
I used to do sprints on the treadmill, and I would push probably 13, 14 for sprints, like dead sprints.
Right. And and Josh is casually
throwing a ball 50 yards in the air. Yeah.
While moving at that speed horizontally.
It's tough. It's tough to do.
it's a big number.
Tariq Woolen had some crazy numbers too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, on the gun. So. Keon White, that's kind of crazy at 290 pounds.
Do you have any?
No, I just would like to talk about the 49ers and the Eagles.
Well, let's talk about the 49ers and Eagles then. Want to know what Fred Warner's fastest GPS timing is when he's filling run gaps downhill.
Or whatever it was when he was covering CeeDee Lamb down the field in space. Right. Whatever that was, I'd like that number, please. We differ on this game. You guys are very, very adamant that the Philadelphia Eagles will be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. I'm extremely adamant that it will be the San Francisco 49ers.
I think the Eagles have a better defense than the Cowboys by a lot. And
I would agree.
I think the way they were able to impact San Francisco's offense is going to be even tougher, especially coming across the country outside in Philly. I think that's going to be tough. And I think that the Eagles have a better offense than the Cowboys too, to be honest with you. So I guess I'm putting a lot into that game, but that was probably the closest we've seen to them really having to lean on different scripts to win a game lately. And I don't like how it looked. And I think Philadelphia presents a bigger challenge in Philly.
I will say the one thing that San Francisco does have going for them is the run defense for Philadelphia has been very up and down this year. You know, so there's going to be a lot of pressure and stress put on the Eagles linebackers and TJ Edwards and his athletic profile to fit and mirror Christian McCaffrey. I think that is something to note and be mindful of in this game. But Joe, I generally agree with you when I look at these two teams and hold them up against each other. I would say if you took defense against defense, I think San Francisco's probably got a slight edge because of the degree of elite talent that they have with Warner and Bosa. Hufanga's played at an elite level this year.
All pro, yeah.
But I think Philadelphia's is more, I think Philadelphia's more well-rounded on both sides of the ball. And I certainly trust their offense. And they're if there's an offensive line that's going to negate what San Francisco brings up front, it's there's a handful in the league, and Philadelphia's one of the ones that's on the list.
You guys know I'm a big advanced analytics guy, big fan of DVOA, and I think this tells the story of where this game is going to be won or lost on Sunday. The best rushing DVOA on offense belongs to the Philadelphia Eagles. The second best rush DVOA on defense belongs to the San Francisco 49ers. There's where the game gets won. Which one of those two sides can showcase their excellence in that? And to your point, Kyle, the Eagles on defense running the football, I'm just making sure that I'm on the right page and not on the offense page, they are 21st. Mm-hmm. In rushing DVOA. So a place where I think the San Francisco 49ers can target. We know Kyle Shanahan's really good at scheming things up, getting Debo involved, getting Christian McCaffrey involved. Mitchell had a great game on Sunday. And so strength on strength, I'm going to favor a team that can play good defense, and the 49ers have done it week in and week out. So I'm sticking with my prediction here.
He had a great game until he decided to go out of bounds.
Okay. It's one play, okay?
I'm so disappointed.
It's one play?
I am so disappointed to learn of the run defense struggles for the Philadelphia Eagles after bringing in a guy like Jordan Davis to really solidify that.
This is not what I was doing. I'm sorry, Philadelphia Eagles fans. I apologize. I didn't mean
hopefully
for this.
Hopefully for the 13 plays Jordan Davis is out there, he can really change everything. Just a math changer. You know, it's going
to
make...
To be fair, he is a math changer. We just need more snaps.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He needs to change his math. They need to change his math in that capacity.
I like that. That was a good response, Kyle. That was a good response.
Can I ask my friend Joe a question?
You sound like my daughter. My daughter says, I need to tell you a question.
Yeah, I need to tell you a question, Joe. you have been, and I don't think this is wrong, but you have been of the opinion of at some point, Brock Purdy's not going to be Brock Purdy, right? Like at some point, there's going to be a fall down to earth.
Yeah, I feel good about that, too.
A regression at some point, right?
I feel good about that, yeah.
Do you feel that it's this week? Do you think this is the week? Because every week we talk about this, and then he just seems to go out there and play good football. Matt,
are you? No. I'm not going to put myself in a vulnerable position like that.
Right, I will.
And dice him up.
Okay. I will.
Go ahead.
All right. I'll fall on the sword so you don't have to.
Thank you.
Yes, I think Philadelphia will be, with their pass rush capability, unless this game is 10-10 and they can just run the ball and not ask Brock to do a lot, I think this is the game, based on the coverage capabilities of Gardner Johnson versus George Kittle, and you have Slay and you have Bradbury to go with Debo and Ayuk. I think, and I look at the defensive line versus the offensive line in San Francisco in passing situations, and yeah, Burford's played well this year. He got McGlinchey at right tackle, and we saw what Micah Parsons did to him. Trent Williams is just one piece of the puzzle. Philly's got four guys this year with 10-plus sacks. They have 70 sacks as a team. They're going to get after him up front. And I feel like they have the athletes in coverage to be able to plaster and really force tight window throws or force Brock Purdy to hold the football and take sacks and take negative plays. This really is just going to come down to how much can you get the play-action pass going if you're San Francisco? If you can't get the play-action pass going, then Brock's going to have a really hard time.
It's kind of fun how Spencer Burford and Braxton Jones wound up being like nice starters for their team this year.
And guys that you wouldn't have guessed as small school, raw. Again, surprise.
Feet and arms, man. They're length and feet. That's what those guys have, right? Working for him.
It's the lifeblood for every future generation of LaRaven Clark, right? Those guys will continue to just get drafted in the third and fourth round every year because Burford hit and because Braxton Jones hit.
A lot of being good picks for those teams, man.
Right.
Okay. So nothing has changed. We went into this. I think Eagles. Kyle thinks Eagles. And Chris is going to ride with the 49ers.
That is correct.
Change my pick.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Chris, who's got the better quarterback in the game?
The Eagles do.
Who's at home?
The Eagles are.
Oh, okay.
I do worry about Kyle Shanahan in this game a little bit, too. Gets a little goofy sometimes.
The big game stuff for Kyle, there's been a hiccup last couple times we played the big games.
Even kind of the way he tried to close out last week, too, was like, man, you're kind of playing with fire here.
And they came out throw and win.
Multiple times on that last possession.
Right.
Well,
they threw it.
They threw it on the plus side of the 2-minute warning, which I thought was a smart decision. But that's neither here nor there.
I mean, they were extended run plays, but we'll see. I like the coaching advantage in this game. Well, that's probably unfair. I like Nick Sirianni.
I was just going to say, my goodness.
Yeah, no, that's a good coaching matchup on both sides. I feel like the wrinkles could come from Philly. The fun wrinkles, the decisive wrinkles could come from Philly.
Let's wait. First high leverage. Third or fourth down in the game, Philly's going to do something wild, and it's going to work. We're going to say, oh, wow, what a wrinkle by them. They came into the year with 25 of them, and they've broken out one a game, and they all hit.
I don't know, man. The pressure's more on Sirianni. It's his first time here, first time in this kind of situation. You're at home.
Save me that narrative, Chris. Come on.
He's
got more pressure.
Joe was about to lop that on Kyle Shanahan because he doesn't do well in these games. I decide to point out that Nick Sirianni's never been in one of these games, and yet I'm the bad guy. It's just the inverse of what Joe was talking about.
So why does Sirianni have more pressure than Shanahan?
I didn't say that he has more pressure. Just it's a factor. It's something you have to consider. Okay. He's never been here before. And if you're going to criticize Shanahan for not thriving in these moments, then you got to be like, Sirianni's never been here before. We don't know how he's going to handle it.
It's fair. This will be his third playoff game, right? They won one last year in divisional round. I think
close games have been tough for the Eagles, right? When they've played close, it's been where they've been vulnerable this season. So
it's gonna be a good game. Chiefs Bengals.
Eli Apple's got me all the way ready to see the Chiefs win by 50 points.
Yeah, this is, Eli Apple's not helping
himself. He's on one.
Props, dude. But you're like that. That's who was it that said it? He's like the Patrick Beverly of the NFL. It's like your caliber, your magnitude of talking versus your caliber of play.
That's disrespectful to Patrick Beverly.
Is not okay. Who's the guy for the Celtics? I'd say Draymond, but. Draymond had a decent peak.
I mean, he's a multiple time champion. You thinking Smart? Of Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown? Who are you thinking of?
Marcus Smart? Isn't he kind of like that?
Okay. I mean, Marcus Smart's an edgy guy. Player. Again, I think this is disrespectful to Marcus Smart. I don't think Eli Apple's very good. So we need somebody who talks a lot and isn't very good. That's what we're looking for.
Eli Apple.
Right, but we need another sport version of Eli Apple.
I'll think of one before the end of the show.
So this is the second consecutive AFC Championship game for the Bengals, fifth in a row for the Chiefs. The Bengals have beat them the last three. Is it five?
I was going to say five. Why was five the number in my head? Was that accurate?
So they played each other last year in the regular season and the conference championship game. And then they played them again this year.
Mm-hmm. Right. But didn't they beat them one time before? Maybe it's only four. I don't know.
Joe Burrow has not lost to the Chiefs.
That I do know.
That is what we can say. Joe Burrow has not lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah. Burrow's undefeated against Allen and Mahomes.
That's a pretty good thing to have on the track record.
Yeah. They're the class of the AFC. They are.
Can I give you some flowers? We did the roster assessment at the beginning of the year, and you came in super high. Super hot on the Bengals. Get him as the number two roster in the NFL.
All because of Eli Apple, you know?
It wasn't. I think I gave him a replacement level grade.
He did give him a replacement level grade. I can't confirm that. But just wanted to acknowledge that for Joe. Because I remember when you came in and did the presentation on the Bengals, I was like, wow, like, I know they made the Super Bowl last year, but like, I'm really surprised to see them this well-regarded from you.
And Joe,
lo and behold, they showed up.
I'd like to add more flowers for Joe because Joe was kind of raising his hand when
after the first couple games of the season, everyone was like worried about the Joe Burrow and the offensive line and could the Bengals be productive on offense? And Joe was like, you know, easy, folks. Some of this isn't just on the offensive line. They're okay. They're, you know, there's some stuff here.
Joe kept talking about, well, Burrow missed all of camp with an appendectomy.
Right. Joe was first on this, behind the curve.
And yeah. So good job, Joe. For you.
You had the Bengals read very well.
Wish I didn't.
You even said that they beat the Bills. You said that like what 3 weeks ago? You've been on this. You've been good. The Chiefs are going to win on Sunday.
No, I think the Bengals are going to win this game. Obviously, I just think this is what I'll say about the Chiefs. I don't think they have enough, especially with Mahomes on a bummed ankle. Like defensively, I just don't think they have the horses. And Kelsey's unbelievable, but I'm not sure there's weapons outside of Kelsey that is keeping Lou Anarumo up at night right now. This guy has taken everybody to school for every big game that's happened over the last 2 years.
Well, and you can match. You're not going to match Kelsey with any one player. But when you guys got guys like the Von Bells of the world and the Mike Hiltons of the world to try to play coverage against Kelsey as middle of the field, not perimeter defenders, really puts you in a good place. Take an athletic linebacker and leverage him with either Logan Wilson or Jermaine Pratt.
Right.
And Pratt's been awesome this year. You know, props to you, Joe, for just being 5 years ahead of the curve. But Pratt's been outstanding this year. So there's Flowers. I'll take the L after 5 years on one of our most hotly contested players in the history of Battle of the Boards, which we do our comparison of big boards before every draft. And Joe was super high on Jermaine Pratt, and I dogged him for it to no end. And Pratt has developed into a really, really good football player. So on a serious note, props to Pratt for his player development and the work that he has done to get him to the place to play at the level that he did this year, because he's been awesome. But when you can take an athletic linebacker like that, I think you could try to replicate some of what Jacksonville tried to do with bracketing Kelsey with a safety and a linebacker, but instead of having two rookie linebackers in Muma and Lloyd, plus Rayshon Jenkins or Andre Sisko, like trying to leverage, you can do it with Von Bell, Mike Hilton, and either Logan Wilson or Jermaine Pratt. I really like that opportunity for them to give extra attention. And then it's going to be on the – I think this game is going to be won or lost for Kansas City offensively with their peripheral weapons. I think Cincinnati's well aligned to kind of force some more of the volume. I don't think you're going to get 14 catches from Travis Kelce in this game.
I agree with you. I don't like that Travis Kelce
won't set another record for receptions in a game in the playoffs by a tight end. But the point stands.
Yeah.
Big board time?
Oh, no defense for your Chiefs.
No, I think they're going to win. There's my defense.
Is Mahomes at home? That's it. That's the whole story.
I mean, that's part of it.
That's Chris. Yeah, I mean, with the Chiefs. We want the ball. We're going to score.
We have the coaching advantage.
Really?
It's Andy freaking Reid. What do you mean we have the coaching advantage?
This coaching staff's beat up 3 in a row.
And we have the coaching advantage.
Oh.
We have the quarterback. We have the quarterback advantage.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
We have the quarterback advantage.
Mahomes on a bum ankle is better than Burrow.
Well, what percentage do we think Mahomes is going to be at?
Most players miss like 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
And can I? Patrick Mahomes isn't most players, Joe. I think you would even agree.
His ankles are the same. He doesn't have uniquely different ankles that heal at
different frequencies. This is why it's such a popular thing to measure everybody's ankle circumference at the combine.
That's right.
I don't have the numbers. I need the numbers on this. I need to know his white blood cell count in his lower foot to understand his healing capacity. I mean, what are we talking about here, Chris?
I didn't say anything about his ankle. You brought up his ankle. I just said Patrick Mahomes isn't like most people.
I agree as a quarterback. That doesn't mean he has uniquely different ankles.
Right, but you don't think a full week to prepare, knowing the pain tolerance that he's going to have, and with Andy Reid scheming it up, you don't think they got a good game plan? They got a good game plan. I think they'll be fine.
Quick game? Take the. Oh, no. They need to be more dynamic than that to win this game.
Yeah, because Cincinnati, between Taylor Britt, the safeties, Hilton, you're going to run quick game and try and those guys get tackled till the cows come. Kill you. Right. Like it, right. They would love Kansas City to say, okay, we're going to put ourselves in the bottle. I think.
With good contained rushers, like that's the Bengals have been very good. I mean, they play Lamar Jackson all the time, obviously.
Can we
they
be
know
honest?
What they're doing.
Kansas City's best chance to have a winning game plan is to pound the rock.
Mm-hmm. If we're Hill, DJ Reader.
I understand that, but you've got Creed Humphrey, Joe Thuney, Trey Smith, Orlando Brown. With Pat's health and percentage of how much of himself he's going to be in question, I think Cincinnati has to be able to successfully win the point of attack and run the football to win the game. They have to. This is not going to be, oh, well, we have 420 yards offense. We ran the ball for 55 yards.
Isaiah Pacheco, 4.3 speed. Let's go.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Before we move on to the last big board, we saw the announcement of the finalists for all the major awards in the National Football League. Did we see
don't
this?
Don't care.
Okay.
Still don't care. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say the Defensive Rookie of the Year, Sauce Hutchinson, Tariq Woolen. I think we feel pretty good about that. Assistant Coach of the Year, Ben Johnson, D'Amico Ryan, Shane Steichen. That's a pretty good collection of assistant coaches.
That's the right names.
Offensive Rookie of the Year, Brock Purdy, Kenneth Walker, Garrett Wilson. I think that's a fine group. Sorry, Chris Olave. Defensive Player of the Year, Nick Bosa, Chris Jones, Micah Parsons.
Chris Jones.
Yeah, he's three.
Congrats. You'll get everybody's third place vote.
Like, comeback right. Player of the Year, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Geno Smith. I think those are the three names you expect to see.
Travis Etienne completely robbed, but that's cool.
Okay. Coach of the Year, Brian Daboll, Doug Peterson, Kyle Shanahan.
I thought there were five finalists for coach.
The NFL put out something different than the AP.
They are
the AP awards, aren't they? So it's like,
say them again.
Brian Daboll, Doug Peterson, Kyle Shanahan.
I wish I remember what my three were, but I feel like that was my top three.
I had Tomlin at three, I think. Nah. MVP, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson. And then Offensive Player of the Year, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
Jets are going to get them both there, Christopher.
Yep, both rookies.
I sure hope so.
Has it ever happened?
I can't remember a time when it would have happened. Where you mean the Jets are just in general a team?
Any team. Has any team ever had the O'Roy and the D'Roy?
I don't think so. That'd be amazing.
Chris
Schubert's
going to
come out here and tell you Joe Douglas on the hot seat, though.
When have I ever said that Joe Douglas is on the hot seat? When have those words ever come out?
I'm messing with you.
But here's the problem. You can't mess with me because people are going to think I actually said that. I've been very clear in my positions about the New York Jets.
Chris, big part of the fake news conglomerate.
That's right.
The media machine.
So the last big board for the Senior Bowl preview are sleepers. I will tell you, this was a tough list to put together. I predict zero overlap list.
Come on. No, we're going to
because your list.
Because you know what I think? Because I think I'm gonna name a guy, and then Kyle's going to be in here and be like, oh, not really a sleeper. You know, he's ranked like 53rd on my board. That's why I don't think I'm going to have any overlap.
That's rude.
Like, specifically with the guy that I have number four, Kyle's going to say something.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Number five. Who wants to go first?
Like you do.
Yeah. Chris, go ahead. Get this off your chest, man.
I picked a running back. I picked a running back from one of the Dakotas. I picked a running back from North Dakota State. Sorry, Kyle. The Jackrabbits will have to wait. Hunter Lipke, number five for me on my list. You're going to sense a theme here. There's offensive weight to this list for me.
It's not a sleeper. I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. Joe, right, go ahead.
Number five for me, power five. So if you want to discriminate against that, that's fine. But I think this is an under-discussed player. Anthony Johnson, cornerback from Virginia.
Good call.
Nice player, man. He's kind of like flirted with my top 100 throughout the balloting process. Really good zone corner, good athleticism. He's got height, weight, length. You're going to like all that stuff. But I think he's got good change of direction and quickness for a taller corner. Really physical if you want to get him up in the face of guys at the line of scrimmage. I mean, there's some scheme specificity here, but I think he's going to impress with his movement skills and size. He's got ball skills. I think he's kind of an underrated guy that I think could really elevate at the Senior Bowl.
Hey, Joe, nice pick.
Oh, thanks.
I'm glad you went with an actual sleeper. My number five is a wide receiver. Power five, so discriminate against that, if you will. But this guy's not been mentioned all week. This is a former five-star recruit, had 1,000 receiving yards this season. I think has a chance to potentially sneak into the back end of the top 100. Any guesses? It's probably going to run the 4.3s. We're going to do the why draft Jalen Hyatt when you can draft this guy later game.
Oh, I know. Are you Trey Palmer?
Trey Palmer, Nebraska Cornhuskers. That's right. Former LSU Tiger. Played special teams on the Tigers for a couple of seasons. Transferred to Nebraska. Proceeded to absolutely blow up with Casey Thompson throwing him the ball this year. High frequency of his snaps coming in the slot. But this is a very, very, very speedy receiver who had an outstanding year this year. And in a crowded wide receiver room, as I just mentioned, we haven't said his name once all week talking about the Senior Bowl. So I think Trey Palmer has a chance to really impress, especially on the vertical plane. That's where he really shined this year at Nebraska. He's my number five.
Number four for me, this is somebody that I wanted to get into my top five players I'm most excited to see on offense list because I am very excited to see this gentleman. He was one of my honorable mentions. And to Kyle, he's not a sleeper. I understand. But to the rest of the college community, you might not have seen him very much. He does play for a mid-major. BYU wide receiver, Puka Nakua, number four for me on my list.
Imagine declaring Puka Nakua a sleeper on the Draft Dudes, where I've been singing this guy's praises for the last 6 months.
Number four for me, as another Power Five player.
Two for two. Can we get some mid-major representation, please?
The next three will be non-power five. So you're
thank
welcome.
You.
The pick is offensive tackle Wanye Morris out of Oklahoma, a former five-star recruit. Began at Tennessee, transferred to the Sooners ahead of the 2021 season, and I watched him over the summer, and I kind of thought he was a mess. But then I watched him this year, and I saw a lot more to like. He's got a really nice frame. I think he can play tackle or guard. Super powerful, really good movement skills. It's just about consistency with him. There's some streakiness to him. There's some lapses in technique. He can be a little bit too aggressive and lose some control, but he's the type of guy that as you keep watching him, you're too aware of what exists that's good to completely dismiss him. And I think he's a player that, while a college underachiever, could really, really come into his own and play his best football in the NFL. And I think that could start at the Senior Bowl, where he'll get some buzz coming out of the week. So I'm anxious to see him as a guy that his buzz really sizzled after being part of that. Remember that Tennessee offensive line? It was like everybody was a five-star. Trey Smith, Wanye Morris, Darnell Wright, Cade Mays. And then their center was not a five-star, but he was like a four-year starter. And you're like, wow, this is a really good offensive line. And then it all just kind of went all over the place. Morris had hype then, and I think we saw a little bit more promise this year. I think he's going to have a good week.
Number four for me. Another Power Five player, Chris. I apologize.
Boo! Boo!
Well, hold on now, because I'm going to put my forks up here. I don't know if that moves the needle for you or not.
Boo, boo.
Nesta Jade Silvera, defensive lineman, Arizona State, formerly of the University of Miami. I had the Canes. I had a chance to see Silvera while watching the Miami Hurricanes. You go back to the Jalen Phillips scouting at Miami days. And this guy popped from time to time. Pretty athletic, nimble, big guy. I believe the expectation is he's going to play in the A-gap down there as a nose tackle type. But he's got kind of that nice athleticism in spite of his build being something that you're probably going to put in the A-gap and charge with taking on centers one-on-one or potentially having to handle double teams with a high incidence of frequency. He's not as big as this player, Joe, but just kind of like the dancing bear element of him. You get a little bit of the Aleem McNeil vibes just to kind of paint the picture. So he's somebody who I know has the physical gifts, transferred from Miami to Arizona State. I'm excited to see him because I have not seen any Arizona State to this point in the season. So I don't know what he played like this year, but I remember the past reps at Miami and you know, I thought there was a little something there. So Nesta Jade Silvera, defensive lineman, Arizona State, number four.
My number three player, a player that I don't believe is in the TDN 100. I don't believe, oh, he is. I just checked. He is just not in the top 75. I hadn't scrolled down far enough. Not in the top 75 of the TDN 100. A all Mountain West first team honoree in 2022. Four interceptions, four pass breakups, 65 total tackles. We're going to represent the mid-majors here on the show. Give me safety J.L. Skinner at number three for me on my list.
Big jump in ball production this year was really helpful for him because that was the big question.
Chris, on those non-Apple computers, can you control F?
Yeah,
is that a fun? I will tell you, I can. I wanted to sort the TDN 100 by safety, and the page crashed. That's what happened there. For a little behind the scenes, I couldn't refresh the page in enough time.
You know it's bad when Joe is asking someone else, "Have you heard about this technological?"
Right. I know how Control F works, Joe. I just couldn't do it because the page didn't load.
It's number three. Number three for me is Jake Andrews, interior offensive lineman from Troy. I haven't seen a lot of him myself. I've had a few peripheral glances at him, but between the way Jim Nagy's talked about him as a potential NFL starter from the FCS level at center, the way Mason Johnston, one of our interns over at the Draft Network, a player with Clemson, has talked about him. We had Brentley Weissman do the write-up on him, and there's like three people that I really respect in terms of their evaluation skills telling me that this guy's a dude. Sounds like I should start to believe that, and I'm looking forward to seeing him as a small school or smaller school interior offensive lineman. I think we need some of these guys to step up, especially in this interior class, and I'm excited to see Jake Andrews.
If you thought Chris booed me before, wait until he finds out I got an Alabama kid on here.
Are you kidding me?
Emil Ekior, interior offensive lineman. But
three for three in the Power Five.
Here's why.
Right, three for three.
Here's why.
I know what you're going to say, but this is attractive. Go ahead.
Yep. As it turns out, there's an expectation that Emil Ekior is going to get cross-trained at the Senior Bowl to snap. And there are some who feel his best position moving forward may actually be center in spite of the fact that he played guard for the Crimson Tide. So you're talking about introducing a new name into a new position group in its entirety. And if that manifests itself and it plays out well for the Senior Bowl, especially with the way that we look at this center class in general, I think that really has the potential to put a big boost on Emil Ekior and his stock and his perception to have cross-train ability and the ability to start or fulfill multiple positions for an NFL offensive line. I hope that is acceptable as an answer.
Number two for me on my list. Number two for me on my list. I mean, you went three for three on Power Five. So, so I'm uninterested in your list right now. I am going to have a Power Five. This is my only Power Five player on my list here at number two. Four of the five are not Power Five players.
Wow.
But for me,
Chris
number two.
Put a Power Five guy higher than I did.
This is a running back who had some buzz going into this season that I thought people were going to be high on. People thought was going to be able to develop into a back. Off the field issues kept them off the field in the beginning of the season. And then there was a lot of ups and downs with the way that the team played. Quarterback was hurt, new offense, new offensive line, new skill position players. It was just a mixed bag there at the University of Kentucky. So Chris Rodriguez Jr., number two for me on my list.
Physical SEC runner. Number two for me, we go just down the street from the Schubert residence there in Myrtle Beach. We go to Coastal Carolina.
That's
for Gerard Clark, their interior defensive lineman, 6'4", 340 pounds. He has some rush potential at that size. He defends the run well for that size, like you'd expect him to. And I think that this will be a classic wait for this guy in the middle rounds over, you know, maybe a Gervin Dexter or some other type of nose player. So the way Kyle's head is going makes me think that perhaps Gerard Clark was one of his top two as well. He slots at two for me.
He's not.
Oh,
okay. I have a power five guy at number two. I'm just kidding, Chris. I'm messing with you. Did you see how many guys?
Of course you do. Of course you have an entire power five list for your sleepers.
No, my number two player on my five-player big board is Jake Andrews of Troy. So Joe and I do have a little bit of overlap, but his number three player is my number two player. For all of the reasons that Joe has mentioned, there's been consistent buzz with Andrews. And if you can go down against this defensive line group and win your one-on-ones throughout the course of the week, people are going to notice. And it seems like there's one or two non-power five offensive linemen every year that go down to this event and they pop out and they show out and they end up getting drafted firmly on day two as a result. And Andrews, I think, has a chance to beat that.
Number one for me on my list is Jake Haener, the quarterback, Fresno State, number one for me on my list. I think there's a golden opportunity. I've said it on TD and Daily. I think I've said it on this show this week as well. There's an opportunity, I think, in this quarterback class for somebody to fill the void and work their way into the conversation of the late day two quarterbacks, early day three quarterbacks, and to be that top guy, right? I think we've seen it in mock drafts all across TDN right now. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that go in round two. You have the four in the first round, and then that's it. Jake Haener is one of those guys that I think with a good week, and if he can stack that with everything else that is a part of the process, could work himself into that conversation. So I think if you're looking at a sleeper, like everyone's kind of looking at Jaren Hall, everyone's looking at Max Duggan. No. Jake Haener for me, no.
Max Duggan, a.k.a. Lil Dicky. If you haven't seen those two side by side
yet. That's good.
Put those pictures up side by side and refuse to ever associate him with anyone else ever again for doppelgangers.
I wonder if we get a day two quarterback.
I think Jaren Hall's probably the guy that you would consider the top option right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like with Jake Haener, if he's got a good week, he could do it.
I have a question.
Sure.
What's more likely, a fifth quarterback coming up to get drafted in day two or one of the top four falling out of the first round to get drafted on day two?
The latter.
I would agree. I would tend to agree with you.
I have a tough time seeing somebody moving up to take a Jaren Hall or a Jake Haener or a Duggan or a Clayton Toon.
On day two.
I think that's a tough hurdle to clear.
And the alternative is Richardson, Levis, Young, or Stroud falling out of
the first.
Man.
I'd be more inclined that that happens than a fifth goes.
And I think the two quarterbacks that I would think are most likely to fall would be Richardson and Stroud.
Stroud?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say, I think you have the right name in Richardson.
Yeah, if I was going to add another potential option, I think it would be Stroud. I think the NFL is going to love Levis. I think Bryce Young's production is going to speak for itself. I think some helmet scouting might occur with CJ Stroud in Ohio State.
That's what I was going to say, Chris. I think the biggest thing that Stroud has to buck is the association of Ohio State quarterbacks, whether that is fair or not. And I don't think it is, but inevitably.
If you're looking for an excuse of how a guy can fall, that's how it gets.
Well, and is CJ the lowest physical traits of the guys on the list?
Can I say this and this not be respectful to CJ Stroud? He's the least flashy of the four.
Okay. I don't know if I can disagree with that.
I don't know if that hurts him. I don't know how, you know, but
it shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
And like,
but
I like CJ. I've got him like a top 15 player right now, like regardless of positional value. But I just, if you're, everybody talks about tools and traits, right? And if you're going to compare Bryce's more quick twitch, I don't think either one of them have plus plus arms. Richardson's got plus plus arm strength. And he's like a 4'4 athlete at his size. I just think that those are the right two names to invoke, even though I don't think Stroud sniffs outside the top 10 when it's all said and done.
Yeah. But if you had,
for but if you had to pick two, I think there's enough holes that you could choose to punch in Stroud's resume.
So that's your number one player, Jake Haener. My number one. Yeah. Yeah. Mine is Andre Yosevis, the wide receiver from Princeton. Consider him.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like I had to include him. Every time, it just feels like a lot of Christian Watson is invoked whenever people talk Andre Yosevis and small school coming to the Senior Bowl, height, weight, speed, opportunity to kind of showcase himself against top competition. I want to see it, right? And so I feel like there's been a lot of buzz, and the buzz hasn't quite inspired me to put him in my TDM 100 ballots, but I think getting live eyes on him could absolutely change that. And so I'm anxious to see him top sleeper in my book.
Good pick, Joe. I'm going to read you guys some numbers here. Is that all right?
Sure. Yeah, so you can give us another Power 5 player? Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
No, this player ended his career at his university with 3,644 rushing yards, third most in program history. He is fifth on the FBS active career rushing list. His 32 career rushing touchdowns, which is second all-time in program history, recorded a school program record 2,100-plus yard rushing games. He was a two-time captain. Was third-team all-conference this year. That, my friends, is Kentucky running back Chris Rodriguez, who Chris had the audacity.
Let's go.
No, he's not my sleeper. I'm just pointing out you put an SEC running back with those accolades on your sleepers list, my friend.
All this for him to not be your number one guy. Wow.
Soliloquy from Kyle J. Krebs.
I'm messing with you. Okay, my number one is Tyson Bajan. You guys shouldn't be surprised by this. No, come on.
Figure this. Well, you're the one that watched the tape, so.
Yeah, so we watched. This tape, and then the TDM Premium Discord checked the tape on our Tuesday night film study at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the film room channel of the TDM Premium Discord. So you don't just get access to the MDM beta test when you sign up for TDM Premium, but you also get the grind tape with us. And how many people out there can honestly raise your hand and say, we watched the college tape of Tyson Bajan at Shepherd? There are not too many folks.
I can't. Not yet.
You've got access to it if you want to watch it. You could have came to the film study on Tuesday night. We would have watched
it. It was a good time. It was a
great time. I'm messing with you. Toolsy kid. Chris, what did you think? As somebody who we watched IUP, and then we watched the first half approximately of California, Pennsylvania.
Right. I think you could very easily see the arm talent, right? There's some processing stuff that we talked about with him that we would just like to get a better understanding of what he's asked to do and what he's seeing when he's out there. But I came away impressed. You even said at the end of the film study that you might bump him a little bit from your original grade that you gave him. Because the IUP game was really impressive.
I watched five games and IUP was not one of them. And then we watched IUP and it was definitively the best game tape that he had.
More exposures.
Yep. That's right. So currently carrying a 5 on Tyson. He's got a really good chance to create some.
Does hold the ball weird when he runs around, when he scrambles. We got to protect that a little bit
loose,
more, Tyson.
Man. He's a loose player.
Got to keep that close to the chest, Tyson, please.
I don't know. I watch some of these super Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen guys carrying this thing around like it's a bag of groceries. Stiff-arming guys.
Just waving down around
your hip. Doesn't matter. You got big enough hand size, and then I'll just be running 14 miles an hour on a dead sprint to my right and throw a dot touchdown 50-plus air yards downfield, you know?
Can happen sometimes.
It's only happened once.
That's right.
It's only happened once. It's going to do it for us here on Draft Dudes. Kyle Krabs, Joe Mann, and Chris Schubert. We thank everybody for taking time out of your day to listen to the show. We hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure you hit subscribe. Come on back and see us again soon. We thank our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the podcast. And we hope you have a great rest of your Thursday. We'll be back again tomorrow for Two Truths and a Lie and Takes on Takes.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.